Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. Well, back to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. On the broadcast yesterday, we saw in the opening verses that Solomon examined the area of entertainment, of comedy, of laughter, to see how much value that has, how much value that adds to life, we might say, how much fulfillment, how much happiness that brings to life. You would think laughter, comedy, entertainment would bring at least a certain measure of happiness to life, if nothing else. But Solomon examined that area and found it to be wanting. It really didn't add much of anything to life, anything of value. That's his conclusion. Ecclesiastes 2:1, I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure. But surely this also was vanity, emptiness. It is fleeting. I said of laughter, madness. And of mirth, what does it accomplish? Indeed, what does it accomplish? We talked about that on the broadcast yesterday. I'm just easing back into it by bridging the gap between yesterday and today. But that's the first area that Solomon investigated. And the whole book of Ecclesiastes is basically a series of investigations into different areas of life that people look to add value to life, and Solomon examines them one by one and then tells us his conclusion about how much value they really do add to life. Do any of these things bring happiness, or do they increase the level of happiness? Do any of these things bring greater fulfillment to life? And if so, which ones? We need to know what they are. A lot of people are pursuing them. They're going down this road, they're going down that road, looking for meaning, looking for fulfillment, looking for pleasure, for happiness in life. A number of times I've had parents tell me, the only thing I desire for my son or for my daughter, for my children, is just that they be happy. That's all I want for them, is just that they be happy. Well, I want to tell you, friend, if that's your goal for your children, I think you're going to be disappointed. Because happiness is very elusive, and that's not a very good goal. And Solomon tells us that in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, but there's more. And we'll go a little bit further on this Thursday, July 9. Thank you for joining me, and thank you for remembering we do depend upon your financial gifts in order to continue this ministry. Well, what else? Verse 3. I searched in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine. There's another pleasure. And some people pursue that avenue. They go down that road. They think that wine, that alcohol, is going to add value to life. That lightens my load. That makes me happy. That's what I want. I want to be happy in life. See, be careful about that. When you make that your goal in life, to be happy. I'll tell you what an old country preacher I heard decades ago now say about that. He said, happiness is not something you find by pursuing it. And I don't know if I'm saying this exactly the way he did, but this is the gist of what he said. He said, happiness is something you stumble over on the road to duty. Think about that. Happiness is not something you find by pursuing it. Happiness is something you stumble over on the road to duty. I think he's right. Because when people are pursuing happiness, they never really know where it's found. Is it found in mirth? Solomon examined that. Laughter, comedy, mirth, entertainment, is that where you find happiness? That's what your goal is, happiness. Is that going to do it for you? And his conclusion was, nope. Sorry, but it doesn't accomplish that. Well, let's try alcohol. Let's try wine. Now, I think I touched upon this several broadcasts ago, so I don't know how much to say about the issue of wine, except to say that we live in a world in which more and more and more alcohol is being consumed, and more people are spending a lot of money and giving a lot of attention to drinking wine or other alcoholic beverages to enhance life, to add value to life, to make life better, to make them more happy. And it does seem to lighten the spirits a bit and help people to forget their anxieties. And it certainly seems to be an important ingredient in a lot of social settings. You've got to have some alcohol, kind of loosens people up and helps them to have a good time. But there are a couple of things here, and we'll get back into what Solomon has to say in a moment. He doesn't say a whole lot about it. He just basically says that doesn't do it either. But a couple of things about it. Number one, there's a great danger in alcohol. And it's not something that destroys everybody. Not everybody who drinks alcoholic beverages is going to become an alcoholic. Not even the majority, I don't think. But a pretty large percentage do have problems with it. Even if they don't become what we would call an alcoholic, they still will abuse it from time to time. Drink too much, get drunk. I was reminded of this a couple of times recently. One man who is a godly Christian and has had a good ministry with people, but he decided to let his hair down a little bit and enjoy his Christian liberty and enjoy the pleasures of wine, a little light alcohol, and he overdid it and got drunk on more than one occasion. And I won't go into any details, but he came to the conclusion that it not only wasn't adding anything to his life of any value, but it was bringing a tremendous liability, and that for him, the only safe position was to just leave it alone completely. That's the conclusion he came to. That's pretty much the conclusion I've come to as well. Not by the same experience that he did, but by observation. I've just come to the conclusion that there's too much danger there. It's almost like playing Russian roulette. Take one of those revolvers that has six bullets in it, six chambers in it, and you put one bullet in it, and you just play this game where you twirl the chamber and pull the trigger, and there's only a 1 in 6 chance that you're going to get the bullet. You've got five chances out of six that it's going to be perfectly harmless. And let's suppose that that's the percentage with wine and alcohol, and it very well may be, that you've got five chances of not getting into any kind of serious trouble, and only one chance out of six that you will. But that one can be fatal. With Russian roulette, it often is. We read not too long ago in our newspapers about two police officers who were playing Russian roulette, and one shot and killed the other one. What a stupid thing for police officers, or for anybody, to be doing. Why take a chance like that? Well, it's a game. It's a game. Yeah, but when you consider what the possibilities are, what the possible consequences are, yes, it might be a game, and you might play it many times and never get hurt, but it only takes one time, and you lose your life. And that's one of the dangers with alcohol. But the other one is that it doesn't deliver what it seems to promise. This is going to make me happy. This is going to make my life more fulfilling. Well, again, by observation, I've come to the conclusion that that's seldom what it achieves. That's what it seems to promise, but that's not what it achieves. And Solomon seemed to come to that conclusion. I searched in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine, while guiding my heart with wisdom, which I take that to mean that he was very careful that he didn't overdo it. He didn't lose his mind, his wisdom, his intelligence. He didn't get drunk. He didn't lose his reasoning. He didn't get soused out. So while guiding my heart with wisdom, so I searched in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine. While guiding my heart with wisdom and how to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven all the days of their lives. And this is, again, another one of the areas that he explored, wine, which seems to be coupled with the verses that go before it, which have to do with pleasure and mirth. And this seems to be another area of it. One area of pleasure and mirth is entertainment and comedy. Another area of pleasure and mirth is wine. That seems to promise of adding something of value to your life. My life, here it is, but I feel like something's missing. Well, maybe this is the thing that will add a little sparkle, a little value to my life. I'll add this in. And people can go all out or all in or whatever you want to call it in this area. Become real connoisseurs of wine and be able to tell you all the different vintages, all the different names, all the different years, what is the best wines, what to pair with this food and pair with that food, the red wines and the white wines, and on it goes. Some people can become really experts in this and really delight in becoming experts, again, as if that's of any great value. And I think it all comes back to the same thing he said about laughter in verse 2. I said, of laughter, madness, and of mirth, what does it accomplish? And then I searched in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine. And that's the same thing. It's all in the same category. What does it accomplish? Really now, what does it accomplish? On the one hand, it has potential of great destruction. On the other hand, it really doesn't add any significant value to your life. It only promises to, but it doesn't really deliver. The things that you can enjoy in life with wine, you can enjoy better without it. Really. I know some people argue with me on that, but I'm confident that's what Solomon is saying here in the book of Ecclesiastes. That doesn't really add any value to your life. But as we know, it does have danger. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.